The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Now, India has been experiencing an unprecedented heat wave with average daily temperatures of 45 degrees. Hospitals have been overrun, businesses were running at snail's pace, and hundreds reported dead. I'm joined on the line from New Delhi in India by journalist and Irish Times contributor Rahul Bedi. Rahul, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Can you tell us what the forecast is for temperatures? Because you were expecting rains that would bring the temperature down.
Well, maybe your call has brought good karma to us because it's only 37 degrees instead of 45 today. And it's a bit cloudy. So the temperatures are down and it's visibly cooler. But the projection is that temperatures are likely to go up in the next two or three days back to where they were earlier, of 45 degrees.
Now, Rahul, it's hard for us to imagine what it is like trying to live in temperatures like that, particularly if you're not living in a nice, comfortable, air-conditioned home. Can you describe the effects it has?
Well, there are two words that would describe it. One is brutal and the other is scalding. It's really like it's a living hell. I've never known it so bad all my life living in India. The temperatures, as I said, are 45 degrees, which makes it impossible to move out. And if you don't have air conditioning, which a majority of the population doesn't, it makes life complete hell. Traffic lights break down. Road rage instances are on the rise. The water, and you can't even have a shower because the water that comes from rooftop tanks is boiling. There's no construction activity going on. It's just everything comes to a standstill. And there's also a water shortage. And above everything else, there are a lot of power breakdowns because the requirement for power has gone up about four or five times from what it normally is. So all in all, it's a living hell.
Now, the problem, I suppose, for people who might be struggling, older people just trying to draw breath, and the incidence of heat stroke, which can be fatal, has soared.
Yes, actually, over the last two or three weeks, about 220 people have died of heat stroke. And in Delhi alone, about 15 or 20 people have died in the last 4 days. Hospitals have got special wards for heat stroke patients. And some doctors that I spoke with said that this is the first time that they've actually signed death certificates giving heat stroke as the cause of the fatality. So it's totally unprecedented. And nobody really knows how long this is going to go on because the monsoons normally come to Delhi by about the end of June. But their progress has been, for some reason, a little delayed.
Now, you mentioned it's unprecedented. Maybe the duration of it, maybe the peak temperatures, but you would be regularly every year getting very strong heat waves routinely.
Yes, the temperature does go up for a few days to about 44 to 46 degrees, but this year it's unprecedented because it's been relentless. And in Delhi, about two and a half weeks ago, the temperature went up to about 52 degrees. And if the actual mean temperature is, let's say, even 45, the feels-like temperature is about roughly in the late 40s or early 50s. Whenever there's a small hint of any humidity coming in, it makes it all the more unbearable because it's heat along with humidity.
Now, there's little that anyone can do about the weather, but there are some things over which the authorities have control, and that is the running of state exams. And this is another scandal that has broken in India. What happened?
It's a huge scandal, and like a lot of Indian politics, it's very complicated. But very simply, about 2.5 million people, 2.5 million people, young boys and girls, appeared for an entrance examination to medical colleges. Medical colleges are very difficult to get into. And roughly, it's a sort of a 1 in 20 chance that these boys and girls have of getting in to these colleges. And a lot of people are anxious to get into government colleges because the fees there is just a fraction of what the private colleges charge. Mm-hmm. But the scandal is about the entrance examination papers being leaked and being sold for as much as within about 2 hours before the paper for about roughly the equivalent of about 2,200 euros. And if anybody wants the examination paper a week or 10 days before it went up, the rate, prevailing rate, is roughly about 40 or 45,000 euro. And then there's been a lot of corruption in the marking also. A lot of people were given 10% scores. The topmost score is 720, and there were a lot of students that got 720 out of 720. So it's really a huge scam, and the government has ordered a federal inquiry into it. But it doesn't really seem to be getting anywhere because it's just a blame game that's going on. And Mr. Modi's government doesn't seem to be doing very much wrong in the last 10 years, and they haven't really taken any cognizance of this as far as they're concerned.
And people are outraged, obviously, because if you lose a place in a college because somebody else has bought the paper in advance, I mean, that is scandalous and can be, you know, career-ruining or career-threatening.
Well, not only is it scandalous and career-ruining, it also means that a lot of these students are not up to the mark. And if they make it into medical college and they pass out of medical college, then they're sort of half-qualified as doctors, and then they're let loose on the public. So it's not only criminal, it's fatal. So, in fact, the Supreme Court has jumped into it because a lot of people have more faith in the courts than they do in the government and in the politicians. So the Supreme Court is acting fairly strictly against this, but it's a very slow-moving process. And about, as I said, about 2.5 million young boys and girls await the outcome.
And what would happen if they discover the source of the leak and the corruption that's involved in selling the exam papers? What would happen to those officials?
Well, that's a good question, and nobody really knows the answer to that, because in India, you know, blame is not really apportioned fairly. It's apportioned politically, and there's a lot of politics involved in it. And as I said, the federal government, Mr. Modi, doesn't really want to take responsibility for this wrong, so they're pushing the onus onto the opposition parties. And there's this sort of argy-bargy going on between the opposition and the government. But it's going to take a very long time, and prosecutions in India can take forever.
Mm. And Mr. Modi's government, I mean, there were losses in the election. I presume he is still very secure.
Yes, Mr. Modi is secure, and this is the first time Mr. Modi is running a coalition government, because he was about roughly about 30-odd seats short of majority to form the government. But he's tied up with various regional parties. So for the moment, he seems secure. But the opposition has also become much stronger, and Parliament is due to meet early next week. So everybody is anticipating a lot of fireworks.
Very good. Rahul Bedi, journalist based in New Delhi in India and regular contributor to the Irish Times.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.